Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here?
In New York, I mainly rock. Hide it in my socks. Running from a op. And I shoot at op. What? And I'm on the block. What?
Don't want to be imbalanced. Don't want to get drowned out by the reggae horns. How are we sounding? How are our levels?
I think you sound good. Okay, it's a Midlife Surfer podcast, episode number 16, Eric.
Is it really 16?
Number 16, that's it. We're averaging about 147 listens an episode, which is super cool. So there's 147 on you. And God bless you for listening to that. It is the fastest growing surf podcast.
North America worldwide?
That's right.
That's what I hear.
Midlife Surfer. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing really well, Jeff.
Yeah, it's always nice to have you here. We have fans that dig you, and they appreciate you being on.
Well, I appreciate you having me over here, here in Santa Cruz, California, into your office with a beautiful view looking out in your backyard. I see some nice hydrangeas in bloom and some lavender back there that the bees seem to be enjoying. And it's just all in all a lovely day here in Northern California.
When was the last time you surfed?
I surfed a couple days ago. Actually, I took the GDG, the goddamn glider, out to Pee-Pee, or Pleasure Point, Pleasure Point, Santa Cruz. My 11-footer on Father's Day, my wife cleared her schedule and encouraged me to get out there and catch some waves by myself, and I had a really nice time. Although, it was crowded as fuck.
Pleasure Point, all the wives are letting the dads out of the house to go surf.
Well, there are a lot of young guys, and I was like, you guys don't have kids.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be eating donuts with your dad?
I don't
Come
know.
On, clear out.
I talked to Juno last week, and he said the same thing, that there's just like tons and tons of more surfers out there right now. I think it's because of the shutdown, and also his business is up too, because, you know, surf shops are open now, but for the surf shop impulse buy, that was down, so people were going to Shapers to get boards, which is at least that's one positive effect of the coronavirus.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a mixed thing, right? Like, as surfers, we're an inherently selfish bunch. You know, waves are a limited commodity. We want them for ourselves. But the other side of that coin is it's encouraging to see people not in front of a TV all day and getting out there in the sunshine, getting that vitamin D. So I feel good about that.
That's nice.
Yeah,
I had a digital device forgiveness program for about 60 days with our kids. And we successfully... My mom let Joe borrow or take her iPad, gave it to him.
Okay.
And had a cracked screen and stuff. But then all of a sudden, I hooked it up to my cloud, you know? So he had all my contacts. Then all of a sudden, he was like, I'd have my buddy call me. He'd go, hey, what's up? I'd be like, nothing much.
Nothing. What's going on? How are you? You reached out to me.
Yeah. I called you. Oh, fuck, Joe. I walk in the living room. Joe, did you call Jason? Oh,
yeah, I did.
You know. So anyway, my wife just said, Joe, we got to get this thing repaired. And he goes, okay. And she took it. We haven't given it back like in a month.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, there's a summer program, which is pretty cool. It's really nice. They divide these kids up in like groups of six. They, you know, they check his temperature at the door. And he's there from 8 to 4 every day. Today's a water day. And he's just playing his ass off Monday through Friday. The little one, he's doing preschool Monday, Wednesday, Friday, half days, same concept. Really safe protocol. And I was just saying that to my wife. They're not in front of the TV or the digital device anymore. And you could see it on them. They're a lot happier kids. You know,
it's nice.
Yeah.
I'm walking into your house today feeling very optimistic about life in general.
Good.
And that's not to say that I'm living underneath a pessimistic cloud.
Right.
But something about today, I woke up and we've got things on the calendar and we're doing work at the house.
Yeah.
We've got some landscaping going on. I'm prepping to make some pizzas today, which I know we've talked about.
Your specialty.
My kids are in a good mood, and I just sat back and was like, life is good.
It is.
Life is really good.
Give me like a quick 30-second update on, you're an RN, is that your title?
Correct. Registered nurse? I'm a registered nurse.
And you've been doing that, what, for a decade now?
Yeah, just over 10 years.
At a really good hospital up near, it's at Stanford.
Yeah.
Do you mind me saying the hospital?
No, that's
totally okay. Lucille Packard Children's Hospital, so you work with sick kids, and by all accounts, you're a great nurse. Give me a 30-second... What's your take on COVID right now, the resurgence, all that stuff?
It's interesting. So initially, right, to recap, we heard all the big numbers, big scare. We made all these preparations. And then whether it's that it wasn't quite as serious as we worried that it would be, or if our sheltering measures were effective, the numbers haven't really come through, which is great. That
right.
People aren't falling apart, getting super sick. And that's kind of continued. It's been slow and steady. I turn on the news and I'm hearing about how everyone's commingling now and the numbers are increasing, But then I go online and I track this Worldometer's data that I've been looking at, and it doesn't seem like the data is being reported that it's increasing. So maybe I'm a day behind or something, but I feel like things have been pretty steady worldwide.
Yeah, that's good. So the cases are up. But then I heard, and again, I'm just talking out of my ass, so don't, you know, you may want to look this up on your own, but I heard Sunday was the lowest death count we've had since the pandemic really hit the States.
I haven't looked at it specifically day of the week and committed that to memory, but when I have opened it and looked at it, it seems like the daily number of new cases is still flattened out or slightly diminishing with occasional outlying spikes, but we're not seeing the graph rise, and the deaths as well have been decreasing day by day is what it seems. But just because I am an RN, don't take everything that I'm saying on this podcast to be like this big truth.
Because my wife, I just said that to my wife. She goes, yeah, well, California's at its peak right now. The numbers have risen in California and hospitalizations are at their peak right now.
See, that's what I've been hearing. And maybe it's different because I'm not in the same unit that Darcy is currently. So I'm not seeing the volume, but
she's not seeing kid volume.
Yeah, from my perspective, it seems like things have continued to be slower.
Yeah.
And I do hear people saying things are increasing, things are spiking. Right. But then when I actually go look at the data on Worldometers, it seems the same as it's been. So I'm not sure where that's coming from. If it's a media narrative, maybe I'm uninformed. Maybe I'm not out there in the adult hospitals really feeling this impact.
Right. So you don't think it's a liberal conspiracy cooked up by George Soros?
I'm not ready to say that just yet.
Okay. Yeah, me neither.
Although I might hesitate on 5G for a little while.
Right, yeah, 5G is the killer there. So far, our bees have lived through the 5G pandemic as well, too, so they're still alive, thank God. I had something else I wanted to say, but it totally slipped my mind. So let's get to, you know, we're talking about getting off our digital devices. Unfortunately, yeah. I've been more and more on my digital device looking at Instagram. That sick, insidious devil of that damn Instagram. It draws your eyes, man. But you know what draws my eyes is the damn interaction. People are reaching out.
Oh, you're DMing.
And saying hi. Yeah.
As the youth say, they're sliding into your
DMs.
That's
right. That's what J.R. Smith originally said when he was trying to slide.
But this is has provocative undertones. Is that correct?
J.R. Smith was the one who initially said, slide into your DMs. He was with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I think it was a screenshot that was posted. And I think he was just asking some chick if he could, hey, let me slide into your DMs.
Yeah, yeah. So can you say that without having a sexual connotation, or is it assumed that that's what you're up to, something deviant?
Oh, I think
if you're sliding into the DMs.
Right. And these people slid in my DMs, but there's no sexual connotation. Not that I know of. Not that I'm just saying that's wrong or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, well, if you want to slide into my DMs with sexual connotation, then I'm all for it.
Okay.
But I have a feeling none of these gentlemen that contacted me would pique my interest. But anyway, boy, that's an awkward transition. I just want to give a shout out to a couple people, if that's okay. I'll start with this gentleman named Kellen. He lives down, I don't know, he's on the Central Coast, Cayucas, Morro Bay area, I gather. Actually, Los Osos is where he lives.
Okay.
My in-laws are down there in Cayucas. I surfed Cayucas last weekend. Kellen's hit me up a couple times. He gave me words of encouragement, and he just said he's listening, which I sincerely appreciate. It's hard to even explain how much I appreciate it, because I'm not that impressed with these episodes, but some people are listening, so God bless you for that. He also had some music recommendations. Actually, he was saying that he's listening to some, I think it was Ethiopian jazz.
Interesting.
And the gentleman's name is Mulato Astatke. As we talk right now, I'm going to have our producer put the music bed under us.
Okay.
A little piece of his music as we're speaking. And then it fades out right now, I reckon. And then, so I've listened to that. He's a cool dude. We talk about surfing down on the Central Coast. Another gentleman, he's a photographer, Baker Carroll. Are you familiar with that guy?
No.
You heard of him? He lives in Santa Cruz. And I'm not necessarily sure how we connected, but he's obviously is close with Ben Kelly and Ben Kelly's family. And
sure.
I actually reached out to him and I said, you know, if you and your buddies or anyone who knew him, knows him, I don't know. I always think of people who've passed. I still think of them in a, I don't know, present tense, but, I asked him to come on and talk to him. You know, I want to learn more about this kid.
Sure.
He sounded like a great contributor to surf culture in Santa Cruz and a nice young man who is really getting his business off the ground, and I'd love to learn more about him. He said he's totally down.
Oh, cool.
I said, let me get a little more professional gear. You know, I hate to just have you all do a round table and then just have you to record in my iPhone like we're doing right now. Plus, I only have two mics on my iPhone.
Yeah.
And I don't see any such equipment that allow me to have three or four going at the time. But if you'd like to join us for that, I'd love that too.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I would enjoy that.
Yeah. So he has beautiful photography too, at Baker Carroll on Instagram. And then the gentleman in Santa Cruz, I believe too, his name's Tony Glavis at Paddle On. He mentioned to me he's also a Cal Poly alum, just like me.
All right.
And Michelle, as you know, who we spoke to last week. He had some Mexico advice as well too. Told me to pack two rash guards, which I'm going to be doing. And I'm not sure why I need two, but I sure as hell went out and bought a Buell white long sleeve rash guard to pair with my Excel black long sleeve rash guard. Another gentleman, a friend of mine, Mike Lucero, he's down in Fresno, actually.
The 559?
559. He's way more into surfing than I anticipated. Okay. He lived in Santa Monica. He's at Cousin Mike, and that's cousin with a Z, of course. Is there any other way to spell it?
Yeah.
I think I mentioned offhandedly to clench your butt cheeks when you're surfing to keep your legs together, right? That's a little trick. If I squeeze my butt, I keep my legs in line, and you have more, you're just more centered on the board, right?
Sure.
You can paddle better. Number one coot giveaway too is if you have those legs splayed.
I heard
out
this
on either side.
I
of
heard
the board.
This on Barrel Patrol this last week.
That's
I
right.
Specifically spoke to
it's
that.
It's totally true.
Yeah.
And I still catch myself doing
I was
it.
Thinking about that when I was paddling at Pleasure Point the other day. Like, oh, make sure you keep your legs together. You don't want to give away that you don't know what you're doing.
Correct. And he hit me up and said, what are you practicing, Kegel exercises out there? Which I'm not, but hey, it's a good idea.
Never Why hurts not? To keep it tight.
Lastly, gentlemen, I don't know his first name. I didn't write that part down, but I have his IG handle. It's Jay Steckman, Steckman. He's a photographer.
Okay.
And he has some beautiful photos as well, too. Check him out at Jay Steckman. He wrote me, hey, I'm 27, so not quite midlife, but this podcast has been super great for a beginner. Don't stop. The casual, raw approach from episode one was what caught my attention. I love the vlog style, and in fact, it'd be cool if you did the same style like after a surf session and give a post-mortem. So I thought that was a kind of cool idea. And keep it up. I'm listening to every episode. So thank you so much,
yeah,
Jay
cool.
Steckman.
Jay Steckman coming through.
I told him it means a lot to hear that.
You know what I think would be really fun?
Go.
And we need to touch on this too, that I recently made a pretty sizable midlife surf purchase.
Okay.
And that my next door neighbor is moving.
Yeah.
I don't think we've touched on this yet.
Go ahead.
So my next door neighbor is moving towards Aptos. We're currently in Scotts Valley. And he told me, he said, well, the only downside to moving is that I don't have enough room in my new driveway for my wife and my cars, mm-hmm. my son's car, and this year 2000 Volkswagen Eurovan mm-hmm. surf mobile. So I'm going to have to sell it. So I told him, don't you dare sell that thing without knocking on my door first.
Yeah.
Fast forward about 4 days, and I'm now the proud owner of a midlife surf vehicle. We bought a year 2000 Volkswagen Eurovan V6 with about 230,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
And it's got a bench seat and a little fold-up table and some rear-facing seats. We could totally take this thing surfing and then record in the back of the van
That's
after
a good idea.
Session on a nice day.
Do you have to wear like an orange fisherman beanie that goes above your ears when you drive it?
I should get one of those.
The roll
I think,
roll so,
I think that's a great idea. Well, I wouldn't want people to not see me as I was coming on
no
down
doubt.
The road.
Yeah. It's a pretty dope van, dude.
It's really cool.
I've
parked in
it.
Front of your house one time,
yeah.
Jeff. I know that you took a peek at it, but
yeah.
I'm really excited about this thing.
That's so outstanding.
We've actually got plans already to drive up Highway 1 up the coast in July.
We're going to go.
So we're going to go all the way up to Coos Bay, Oregon.
Wow.
I'm not bringing a surfboard. This will be the first kind of dry run with overnight camping. It's got the tent that pops up, the roof that pops up into a tent. So we're going to give it a try.
Can I recommend a soft top to bring along?
Sure.
That's what you should do.
That
just
is
bring like an 8.0
do.
Soft top. Don't get a wave storm. Get one of those Catch Surf Babies or something.
So I need to find a way to get racks onto the top of
true.
The pop-up camper.
Oh,
and that's
yeah,
really
that's
what
issue.
My... Because I can't give up the interior storage for a soft top at this point.
I want to say I've seen like vans with the boards on the side of a van.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I bet they have such racks.
Yeah. Hey, if you're out there listening to this,
yeah.
you've got recommendations for how I can
right.
fix some boards to the top of my new
right.
wagon, please slide into Jeff's DMs and then leave us a comment about how we can attach some boards to the top of my car.
That's great.
Yeah.
And I've reached out in similar ways and I've gotten some good advice. A recommendation, if you will.
That's good.
Yes, thank you. So we talked about the last time you surfed. You took the glider. Did you get any good waves?
I got two really good ones.
Yeah.
I sat way out deep off the second peak at Pleasure Point next to a gentleman I've never met named Chris, who apparently has surfed Santa Cruz for 30, 40 years. He looked to be in his 60s. He was a good surfer, a little slower moving than maybe he once was, but he expressed that he's definitely surfed some bigger waves over time. Told me a story about surfing Swift Street on the west side with a swell that was coming through it 42 feet at 22 seconds way back in the day. And he said that there was a movie that was filmed, a big wave movie.
Wednesday?
No, the title's escaping me, but it was filmed up at Mavs. He said, well, everyone was up there surfing Mavericks. He was surfing Swift. And he was one of three guys out, and he got some monster bombs that were coming through. It sounded really cool. So he and I shared a couple waves, actually. And the swell was coming through on a southwest swell, I believe. And it was swinging wide, like every 40 minutes or so, a peak would come up so wide that the first peak couldn't paddle over to it. And he got one that was just perfect in just the right spot. And then the next one came through. I went, and he dropped in on me. But there was ample room in front of both of us. And so I actually encouraged him, hey, just keep going. Just keep going. I got a good view of you catching a good wave. Both of us took it the whole way to the inside. And when we paddled back out, he's like, hey, I really appreciate that. If you see me go on any wave, you just go on ahead.
That's great.
Which ended up working to my favor because we shared a couple set waves that came through. And there was plenty of room for both of us to do turns and come back down into the pocket.
So he was in front of you on that wave?
He was in front of me on the first wave, and then he generously reciprocated and let me slide in on his wave
for the
next couple. And we were having a really nice time. So
I always... I'm hesitant to jump in on a wave, even when someone's waving me on, like, go ahead. Because, not that it happens too often, but I know that the possibility is there that that wave closes out or I just somehow eat shit and the board, like, just corks in the air and is going to fly right at that person.
Yeah, that's a risk.
I'm not surfing, like, a 5'10 EPS board, you know. I got some heavy polyurethane boards. I don't want to whack anybody.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know?
So I was definitely aware of it. I didn't want to come too back towards the pocket. Because I was worried I kind of might bump into him or something. I tried to keep my space, and it was definitely on my mind. All right, don't fall. Don't kook it up here. And it worked out. We probably effectively both doubled our wave count by sharing waves, which is, not my preferred way to surf, but I'll take it.
And, absolutely.
And it was a nice time.
Absolutely. Good. I heard about, this is a cool story I wanted to show you. Off Beach Grit. Mm-hmm. My only source of show prep. Written by Derek Riley.
That's where the good news is coming from.
Dude. They're way too big for us. They would never even know that I have a podcast, but you should know that they have a website. It's called beachgrit.com. They're good writers too.
Yeah.
And they're not think pieces or essays. They're not trying to impress anybody with their writing. In fact, a lot of the writing's sloppy. That's what shows you how good of a writer they are.
Sure.
Derek Riley actually has written a couple, I think it's Prime Minister of Australia, but he apparently did a book series with this guy too.
I think that's correct.
So he's a pretty highly renowned writer. He doesn't take himself too seriously though, and he does a podcast with Chad Smith called Dirty Water. But anyway, this is a story called A Breakthrough. A great white proof wetsuit is one step closer to reality.
Okay.
Makes sense, yeah?
That does make sense.
All right. The incidence of shark bites in Australia has increased from 1 to 3 times per year in the 1980s to more than 10 per year in the 2010s.
Wow.
It's gotten real tense, I guess you could say, around those great surf utopias, Byron Bay, Santa Cruz, and Margaret River. Getting hit by a great white shark, a species protected in Australia since 1999 and California since 1994, has moved from the abstract to the very real. Of course, he mentions Santa Cruz shaper Ben Kelly and that tragic event, as well as a Gold Coast surfer, Rob Pedretti, who was hit and killed near Byron Bay just a couple weeks ago. A pal called a couple days back and said the sight of breaching whites had become almost as common as the whales that pass the coast every June. And how many videos are there of breaching great whites at Pleasure Point now?
Yeah, we've seen a few within a week span.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
I'm voting for the president that's going to do something about these damn sharks. You know what I mean? No. And if it... No, I think it's really bad vibes to talk about culling sharks or killing sharks.
I agree.
They're beautiful animals.
Yeah.
They're
essential.
In Australia, it's a different story. You can go to somebody... I've heard Australian surfers mention that culling or killing sharks culturally isn't as... isn't really a faux pas, I guess you could say, to many surfers. And probably, if you knew a person who'd been hit once or twice... Then that makes sense. But
sure.
I just think it's bad juju because it's all about, I just believe in the simulation, the vibes. You know, like why would you draw that negative attention? So just for any sharks listening, I'm not for culling or hurting sharks.
Well, this is something that's a contentious topic, right? I remember a few years ago, Kelly Slater spoke out about Reunion Island, where there's been this really high incidence of shark attacks.
Yeah.
And he came out and made a comment about like, very like a snap comment. Something needs to be done. Maybe we need, I'm going to put words in his mouth. Something needs to be done. Maybe we should look at culling these sharks to reduce the population. And man, the blowback that dude got just makes you feel like, why would you open your fucking mouth about anything ever?
Yeah, I'm not educated enough on the topic to say anything intelligent about that, which seems to be a running theme during this entire podcast.
I think that the notion that anyone is trying to capture is we would like for less humans to be killed by sharks.
Sure.
And there's this reaction, well, if you got rid of the sharks, then that wouldn't happen. But obviously, there's a bigger sweeping ecological impact.
Which was the topic of this article. So far, solutions have danced around the three poles. The proven, if brutal, efficiency of nets, surveillance by drone, and tagged sharks linked to social media, and various trinkets calling themselves shark deterrents. I think there's a bracelet you could buy right now.
Sure, shark deterrent.
This catch surf, my wife said, oh, it's got stripes on the bottom. Good,
it's a shark deterrent. I've heard that same thing.
I talked to Ralph...
Collier.
Thank you, Ralph Collier. And we talked about that, in fact. Those stripes, actually, it's not disproven that they deter sharks. But a new angle is in the works on the premise that it hits on surfers... Okay, a new angle works on the premise that as hits on surfers, as in bites on surfers, have become the new reality, and since there's only going to be more great whites, how about we minimize the impact of a shark bite? The NSW Department of Primary Industries has tossed 90 Gs, that's 90,000, to researchers at Flinders University in Adelaide, I assume that's in Australia, toward the development of a great white-proof wetsuit. Kevlar was the first choice, and it works. But while it might be okay under your combat uniform, it ain't much fun as a wetsuit. Instead, the researchers are testing two types of protective fabrics that incorporate ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene fibers.
So they're looking at building chainmail into your wetsuit, essentially.
I guess.
Something so strong that the teeth will not go through it. That's the plan.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop you from being bit. It stops you from being penetrated.
Right.
The teeth of the shark.
Yeah, as Derek finishes, it ain't going to stop the jaws, but it might limit the damage. Human trials to begin soon. Volunteers are wanted.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder how much they'll pay at a volunteer for a shark.
I'm going to shuffle paper. Yeah, this is a good radio show. Shuffle paper and throw it away.
That's it. That's an interesting article. You spoke to Derek and Chaz just to give them a little plug about what good writers they are, and I totally agree. But beyond that, so I listened back to an interview that David Lee Scales of Surf Splendor conducted with Derek Riley.
Yeah.
And I walked away just thinking this Derek's worldview and just how he sees the world is so on point and just kind of cool. Like, and there was specifically a bit where they were talking. So to rewind a little bit more, Derek helped found Stab Magazine, which now Beach Grit has become kind of contentious with over time.
Okay.
So Derek and Sam McIntosh, I believe, were the founders of Stab Magazine. And then eventually, due to differences and creative differences, or I think he spoke to the fact that he was a father to a young child and his priorities were at home more, where Sam was traveling and grinding away. And so eventually, Derek stepped away and Sam took over and then sold the business for much more money than it would have been worth.
Right.
And they asked Derek, hey, is that discouraging? Do you feel like that's the one that got away? Does that make you jealous? And his response I thought was so great that he said, no, not at all. He said, I didn't put in any of that work to make this thing as valuable as it's become.
Right.
Why would I be jealous of something that I didn't really help foster and grow
right.
and stoke that flame? He said, I'm happy for his success.
Yep.
He put in all the hard work.
Yeah.
He made it worth this. And I thought, what a refreshing point of view.
And
it wasn't jealous, he wasn't upset, he didn't wish that he had something someone else had, but instead expressed joy.
Right.
Even someone that he may not say is a competitor to his current business.
I think that attitude is fruitful. I think you, in the end, do more things that you love to do, and in fact, you make more money when you have this attitude in which you're not a miser, if you're not harboring hard feelings,
yeah.
you think you got fucked on some deal or something like that. And sure as shit, I guarantee they're making money off this website. I think it's the most visited surf website now in the web.
Well, it certainly has the best writing.
It does.
You know, they all just have the different things to offer. I know that Chaz really likes to have this rivalry. Maybe it's a one-sided rivalry. No, it's two-sided. I genuinely think the writers at Stab dislike Chaz Smith.
Yeah.
And that's something that he's kind of created. It's his persona that he's contentious with them. And I don't actually think he cares that much. But there are certain things that Stab is doing that are cool, like Stab in the Dark or
totally
they put out that series with the dock, kind of this cool novelty video where they assembled this flotation dock, this runway strip way out in the ocean. And as this wave came through, they could run down this dock and hop onto their board and take off. It was really cool to see. And it's like, you know, this is something they're creating from a content standpoint that's very interesting.
Yeah.
So I think maybe they're not filling the same niche, so they could get deserved criticism for not being as excellent of writers. But they're still creating content that is enjoyable to take in.
Right.
I think there's a lot of value there.
Speaking of rivalry, I was sliding into Alan's DMs, Barrel Patrol, for two things. One, I heard he won a Firewire board. He won a damn giveaway.
Oh,
and he
fuck.
FaceTimed with Rob Machado.
Really?
And I said, you got it. You got to ask him to be on the pod.
They're raising the bar.
He said he probably is going to ask him.
Okay.
He FaceTimed with him on by virtue of him winning this contest, it sounds like. And
cool.
He's picking out his Firewire now. So that's sweet.
That is sweet.
And then I postulated we should conjure up a podcast rivalry and then at some point meet in the middle of California and have a surf-off between us four.
Let's do it. So listening to their last episode, they made comments about how they think that I'm a pretty decent surfer.
And you are.
I don't know that that's true.
I think you are.
I think they gave me a lot more credit than I deserve. I do know how to surf. I'm not a beginner.
Yep.
But I think I've said this before. If you were to take in the talent level of everyone in the lineup, I'm smack in the middle or somewhere down in the bottom half comparatively. Like, there are at least 50% of surfers out there that are more talented than I am.
I think that's maybe 30% of the surfers are more talented than you.
Oh, it's got to be higher than that.
It's not about like watching you how much buckets you're throwing, you know, on your top turn and stuff, but just the way you paddle, drop into a wave, carry yourself, the way you choose the waves.
Sure.
That's one thing I still struggle with. I get greedy and I start paddling for anything, then I'm going inside and I'll get some, and I should go outside and get
some.
Sure. If I just wait in one damn spot and be patient, you know what I mean? Plus, I don't see like blowing takeoffs. Like, I still, like, if set waves comes, there's still a good 45-30% chance. That's a 15% margin between those two. So let's say 40 to 45% chance that I'm going to blow it on nerves.
Okay.
Like, if I feel like eyeballs are on me, I might fucking blow it. I don't know why.
I was thinking about this last time I surfed on Father's Day as I was sitting inside, because there were some good surfers inside. One in particular, if you're looking into surfing, he goes by the name Frosty.
Okay.
If you've seen the movie Chasing Mavericks, he was the Gerard Butler character, I believe.
I got his book right here, man.
So he lives at Pleasure Point, and he's in the water every single day, and he's got a very specific look about him.
Yeah.
And I see him out there all the time. We've talked from time to time about our kids and surfing, and he's just a very kind person. And so he was sitting inside just getting waves like crazy, and I'm sitting on deep, and I thought to myself, why do I not feel nerves as I'm paddling into a big set wave? Because, Jeff, you know, I am always sitting out the back.
Right. You go out there. You want the set.
I have what they refer to as bombitis. This is actually what that old guy Chris at Pleasure Point was telling me. Oh, you've got bombitis.
You want the bomb.
You just want the big ones.
Hell yeah.
And I should inherently feel nervous about screwing up a big one. Because everyone's inside watching this happen. But as I see it come in, it's not on my mind. And I don't know why. But as I stroke into it, and I'm kind of looking to make sure I don't run over anyone, I think Frosty sitting inside and watching me catch a bomb should make me feel some amount of pressure. But I guess I just don't really
good
care.
For you.
I don't worry about it, I guess is great.
You do enough muscle memory. I know if someone was watching me, like if someone said Ollie over, like if you tilted a skateboard up on its side, right? You know, standing 8 inches tall and they said Ollie over this and everyone was watching, I'd fucking Ollie over with my eyes closed. Because I've done thousands of Ollies. It's the only trick
I could do. What if Tony Hawk pulled up and yelled out the window and said, do a kickflip?
I would land one third of them.
Have you seen that video?
No.
It's a series of videos on YouTube you can go look up.
Oh, that sounds good.
Where these pro skaters will drive down the street with their windows down. They'll look out, and if they see kids with skateboards, they'll yell, do a kickflip. And if they land one, they'll give them a deck or some shoes. It's really cool.
That's a cool concept.
Come on, kid, do a kickflip.
All right, so I was on a Jonathan. I saw Jonathan Wayne Freeman popped up on my phone, the damn Instagram. It said, Jonathan Wayne Freeman's doing a live stream.
Oh, cool.
And to the listeners, if you haven't checked him out, go look at his Instagram. He's just a surf personality on Instagram. He's a great dude. So I popped on, and I wrote, any advice for surfing South Baja, just as a question? And he said, which I'm going to be doing in the near future. And he said, no, never surfed down there. Don't have any advice. And this handle at Surf Flow Yoga said, I have Baja advice. And next thing you know, my DMs had been slid into.
Wonderful.
And he said, hey, and he started just giving me this verbal advice, like, you should go here, here, check this out, do that. And I said, hey, how about this? Let me just Zoom with you in a half hour or so, and let me ask you some questions about surfing Baja. So the guy's, his handle, it says David Flores, right? Mm-hmm. So I called him David. And then in the middle of the podcast, he goes, I'm Jose, there's another Jose. I go, wait,
who's
I
David?
Thought your name was David. And he goes, no. I go, you said Jose. It's neither, it's Squid. People call me Squid.
Who's David?
He's a cool guy. The tour company, they do tours. It's called Baja Adventure Company in Puerto Cortez in La Paz. That's the east cape
of
the Sea of Cortez, right? So that's the east part of the peninsula that's facing into the Sea of Cortez or the California, I don't even know what it's called, California Bay or something like that. And I caught up with them, and I'm going to transition right now into that interview, and we'll be right back.
Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here?
Actually caught me like here in the office, so I mean, why not do it right now? I have the time and the opportunity, so.
What do you do down there, David?
So as you can see, we have a marina back here. I work at a tour company. We do fishing charters. We do like off-grid adventures. And right now we're not in season, which is kind of good for, you know, like the COVID situation. But we do like whale shark snorkeling tours. And then we also have kind of like basically the friendliest sea lion colony in the whole world. It's like a really peculiar thing. Like, it's like a bucket list kind of experience. People come from all over the place to swim with the sea lions. Right now they're like in mating season, so despite business being like slow, people are eager to get out and head out. So I'm actually waiting for one of our boats. It's the first charter that we have with clients since the quarantine started, so it's pretty exciting. And it was kind of funny because this particular trip came through the Todos Santos surf shop. It's like a guy that I run into in the lineup. And then I run into him out here on a boat. And I was like, dude, like, you do the same thing that I do? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So right now his boats are not operational. Ours are.
Yeah.
And so he was just like, dude, hook me up. I'll hook you up later. And that's kind of how it is. Right now, like, the whole state is coming back to the new normal, and they only approve like sport fishing trips. So they're out there fishing, but they're not really fishing because they just want to see,
right?
They just want to be out and about on a boat and jump in the water, I guess.
What's your business's name?
So it's called Baja Adventure Company. A lot of people actually mistake it with Baja Adventures. So Baja Adventures is out of, as you may know, Baja has, it's pretty long, you know, it has Northern Baja and Southern Baja. So Northern Baja, they do these like overland kind of like camping trip situation, and we do mostly like water adventures on boats. We've been operational for like 10 years, but this year in particular, it was challenging. We actually bet on a huge catamaran. It's a 51-foot vessel, and it got here, and we had like weeks of charters lined up, and then they were like, boom, lockdown. You're not able to do anything, so
wow.
Took us by surprise. But you know, we're confident. A lot of our competitors, basically, they did what was not really considered to be like the best choice, which was like lay off everybody,
right,
and cut the costs down until things go back to normal. We have stayed open, relatively open. So like, I was doing like my home office for like the last 2 months, and that was actually really cool because I was able to go camping, surfing, you know, like do all the stuff that I want to do, but also like check in now and then, check the emails.
Right.
But the sad part is like 90% of our emails now are, do you want to buy discount PPE? And it's just like, dude, I even reply like, it's so good to finally read another human's book. Like, please, let's do business together. I'm tired of this, like, COVID, you know, like, advertisement emails.
Yeah. Are you the founder of the company?
No, I wish I was.
Yeah.
So, like, the founder is a guy. So, we all come from, like, a marine biology background. There's, like, this, like, state college, and we were all kind of, like, you know, like, bumping into each other at the parties.
Cool.
these guys are actually more into like the spear fishing world.
Yeah.
Surfing. And as you may know, like spear fishing and surfing are like June.
Yeah.
So we're kind of like in the same ocean minded way of life. And these guys started out with like a dinghy, like just like a Zodiac boat, taking two guys out for fishing. Fast forward 10 years later, and we bought this catamaran, and we're looking all around town for like another dinghy, and there's not many dinghies available. So it's kind of weird to see, like, after 10 years, like the guys that you were bumping into at the parties now have a really sturdy business, and you end up wearing a like a nice little shirt and having an outfit, and, you know, like doing like the.
Oh yeah, that's life, dude. Just wait. How old you look like a young man? How old are you?
I'm 28.
Yeah.
I look like 28, but like I'm starting to see like some gray hairs.
Oh shit, dude. Yeah,
I'm glad I'm not going bald. Like my brother, he's like 2 years older.
Check this out.
Dude, exactly. So
and you're saying exactly to my balding head. So the podcast is called Midlife Surfer for a reason. And I always was cavalier about losing my hair, like, I'm a dude, man, I'll just wear it proud. But man, once it starts going, I started tripping out when I finally saw my hairline thinning for sure. Yeah. But now that's how it goes, man. I'm 10 years older than you, and before you know it, you're gonna have a wife and kids and a mortgage and a whole bunch of liabilities, and you'll be looking back on the days when you could just surf all alone out there at shipwrecks and not have a care in the world.
I would actually flip that over around and say, like, it's not a liability. It's actually like an opportunity to like grow and just kind of like settle into what life really can do for you.
That's right.
Like, I'm not saying like I'm looking forward to like settling down and getting married and stuff. But like, there was this one video by Jonathan, and he was like, I'm not a shortboarder and I'm not a longboarder either. I'm a mid-lengther.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like, for instance, I was the kind of like stubborn dude that was like, you know, like holding on to like learning on a shortboard.
Yeah.
And I think that actually set me back like a good year on like the actual surfing, you know, magic.
I agree.
But I definitely see myself 10 years later, wife and kids, charging Scorpion Bay on a mid-lengther and like just like paddling around everybody, catching every single wave that I can.
Yeah.
And being like, what you gonna do about it, dude? Like, I'm a
man. Yeah, no, I do the same thing. I my primary go-to is a 6'8". It's kind of an egg shape, kind of a speed egg, right? It's 21.5, 2¾ thick. And then I got a 7'10", Michelle Junot board. It's 21.5 and 2¾ thick. And those are the two I'm bringing down. I'm heading down to your neck of the woods. I don't think we're going to see too much swell. It looks like it's coming a couple days after, but it's, you know, tell me, what's the surf report down there right now? What should I expect?
Well, here's the thing with the Baja, like it catches a lot of swells from a lot of different angles. And even if the forecast says like you're going to have waist high, you know, like mushy swell, you know, some spots are definitely still surfable.
Right.
Especially the East Cape. Like for us here not on the Pacific side, but on the Sea of Cortez side of the peninsula is, at least an hour drive to any kind of surf break. So for us to go down to the East Cape is like a big sacrifice.
Right.
I remember going there about a month and a half ago when the prices for the gasoline were like crashing. So I was able to like fill up my tank for like relatively small like fraction of what I usually pay.
Right.
And it's like a local thing. Like, let's try to get two or three guys coming with so it's not so expensive. But then I was like, fuck it, I'm going alone and I'm going to stay there like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the days that were showing, like, I actually gave up on like checking the forecast because I found that even the days that were showing like small ass waves, there was still something like surfable.
I find that too, and that's the best part about riding like an egg shape or something, because it kind of doesn't matter. And I don't honestly, my friends are bummed if it's not going to be absolutely pumping, but if I could get some chest high peelers, dude, that's really all I want in life anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The escape, it has all the things that you're looking for, like warm water. Like, you don't even, so for instance, I'll just do like a comparison of like what a day is like on the Pacific side and on the East Cape side. Especially like the last one, we had like back-to-back swells, like south swells on the weekends. And I remember like 10th of May, it was like Mother's Day. A lot of us were like camping it's famous point. Like, I'm not gonna even bother like hiding the name. It's called Punta Conejo. It's just a long left hander. But the ritual in the morning is like, wake up. It's foggy as hell. You gotta make a cup of coffee. You gotta start, you know, like getting the blood flowing.
Yeah.
Your wetsuit is cold and soggy, and you have to like wrestle in.
Yeah.
You know, like put it in, and you have to like walk out through the rocks, avoiding the, you know, like the urchins. What do you call the things like whales? The
barnacles.
Barnacles.
Yeah.
Barnacles. There's a lot of water is freezing right now. We have this like upwelling season, like all the deep water from, you know, like it's rising up and it's just like freezing. So, and then you have to like do like 10 dog dives under these like massive sets.
Yeah.
We actually have this like inside joke is like, you get a PhD in dog dives there. Cause it's like, if you don't do it properly, like you'll get washed out with the
current.
It sucks.
I've been there many times. I'm up in Santa Cruz, California. There's a spot called Manresa and Waddell. And fuck, man, I've gotten beat back so many times where I've headed back to the beach with my tail between my legs. Like, what am I even chasing after right now? That's a beach break. So you're talking, is Conejo, is that on the east side of the peninsula?
That's the west side. So like, just like facing the Pacific.
Yeah.
Post, like the Makes big sense. Fucking bombs roll through. I was actually lucky to get like a couple bombs. So I have like a 5'4" Hypto Crypto, which I was like, you know, like not so confident about. I figured like I should be on like a mid length or like something with like a little bit more volume. And I just remember the takeoffs. It was just like almost vertical, just like hold on for. And I'm a regular. So I was going backside on this way. And I was actually looking at the couple clips that I got, like somebody else like filmed me on the beach. Nice. And I was just like, not even moving. I was just like trying to get away from the foam. I was just like, it was a long ride, but I didn't really do any turns, anything. Whereas on the Eastcape, it's like, I can just park like 10 feet from the beach, wake up before the sun rises, not even make coffee. It's super warm. I just like throw on some shorts, throw on like a rash guard.
Right.
Allow. And the game there is to beat the crowds. Like all the San Jose surfers, they get there and they crowd the lineups like you would not imagine.
Really?
And this is where you start seeing like the surf community kind of like get together. Like in Cabo, it's like nobody gives a fuck.
No worries.
Nobody cares. So it's like 15, 20, 30 people in a lineup and you're like, oh. But a lot of my friends are in Scorpion Bay in San Juanico, and there, you know, it's a really tight community and they have set like a series of guidelines.
Yeah.
So there is like the points and they are only allowing like 10 people per break at any given time. And it's not like they're like clocking you or anything, but they are like, okay, be respectful, do like a 2-hour session and then people can kind of like take turns because there is like firing every day basically.
Right.
The Eastcape is funny because people just drive all the way up and down the coast. I actually had a couple sessions where like a rumor came from the city, right? Cops are coming, everybody packs up, everybody leaves, and then there's perfect waves peeling and there's like not a single soul out there.
Oh, no way.
You're like 1 hour, no cops, an hour and a half, no cops, you know, like I'm just gonna risk it and get out there. So
yeah.
Like on my Instagram, you'll see like a couple of like clips. And it's just like, I had like pillar shoulder, maybe even like waist high waves, but I was just like banking turns and floaters. And that's where the Eastcape magic is at, man. Cause like, you're not in a battle for your life or your survival of your board and your feet. You're actually
having
a good time.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't want to bring this subject up, but like, the hottest surfer chicks, it probably doesn't matter to you because you're a married man, but like the Eastcape is just like cars, like one after the other.
Oh.
Girls. Dude, it's like a movie. It's like The Endless Summer.
Don't ever hesitate to bring up hot chicks, especially in the Eastcape there. That sounds amazing. That's the Sea of Cortez. So I'm probably going to be like 9 palm shipwrecks or whatever breaks we can find in between. Like I said, I'm traveling with a couple guys who know what they're doing down there. But I'm not going to need a wetsuit right now, am I?
Oh, not at all. Are you a goofy?
It's going to be burning. I'm regular, man. I want rights.
You're going to fucking love it. Like,
cool.
Shipwrecks. So I'll give you like some like inside advice. It depends on the angle of the swell, but shipwrecks. So you have the main beach, the first arroyo. That's where you paddle out from. There's like a little channel in between a cluster of rocks. That's where people usually like wait for like the lull in between sets and paddle out. And a lot of the people will sit like on the inside, like closest to the peak. And they like, unless they're like really good, 80, 90% of the time, they don't even make the section. So where I learned to sit after, you know, like many sessions there and frustration, more like in the middle. Because when the big sets kind of like take everybody by surprise, you're right there in the spot to take the really long ones that end up all the way in the beach. And, you know, in the morning, people just like come, park, surf, and then they leave.
Yeah.
Around noon, the wind kicks in. And then it dies down around like 4, 6-ish. Yeah. If you're sticking around for the sunset session, I think you're going to have a blast.
Yeah.
The tide does not really affect shipwrecks. Like it works low tide, high tide. I have lost a couple of fins down there, so maybe be careful with the.
I'm going to bring my ding repair kit for sure. I'll be ready to patch some holes. Yeah. Yeah. So
what's the sea life down there? Do I got to worry about a stingray or anything like that?
Well, here's the thing. Most of the stingrays that are actually harmful are like on the bottom.
Yep.
So unless you're like walking on the sand to get in and out of the point, like I wouldn't be worrying about the stingrays. I would if I was being like touristy and check out the beaches on the Sea of Cortez side. Like here in La Paz, I actually got stung twice. The worst one was my big toenail. It was just like right through.
Oh, no worries. You need to get that. That boat might be coming in. Go get that.
No. It's just the captain. I think he's just like calling me to see what's up. But like that one time where I got stung, like in the big toenail, I actually ended up in the hospital.
Oh, man.
I didn't know the first day, which was just like soak your foot in warm water and it'll go away. Like the therapy is actually walk on your feet on the warm sand and like that. Blood flow is gonna like get things going again. I'm just gonna shoot a message to him real quick on the WhatsApp. And you know what? Here in this line of work, you see like stingray situations often.
You better take that.
Dude, this is another person. Like this is the worst timing ever. Hold on. Hola. Oye, me das un momentito? Es que estoy grabando un podcast en este momento. Es como el peor timing de la vida. Ahorita te vuelvo a llamada. Bye.
Dude, he like, said, you know, just a minute. I'm on a world famous surf podcast right now. Give me a couple minutes.
Dude, like, he is my favorite captain ever. So my name is Jose. His name is Jose. We've had like people on the tours getting stung by the stingrays.
Yeah.
And nobody knows this trick, but for instance, the hot water exhaust from the engine. If you have a little bucket, you can collect that and soak the foot in.
Yeah.
So that's what we ended up doing for a couple of days. That makes a lot of sense. But then another of the big sites that we have here is the giant schools of the manta rays. Like you'll see them by the thousands. They're the ones that are like leaping out of the water. There's like documentaries on them and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like you could swim through the whole school of rays and not a single one would be like aggressive towards you. And then there's also a reef like about an hour and a half where you can actually see the giant ones, like the 2-3 meter fin span manta rays, and you can swim with them and that's pretty epic. Compared to like a liveaboard scuba diving boat that you have to pay like $3,000-$4,000 for.
Yeah.
Just for a seat. Occasionally we have like the big surprise. The killer whales are everybody's favorite. They're not like residents here in the Sea of Cortez. So whenever we find a pod out there, like we get the captains calling everybody on the radio, like, come on down. We got the drones and try to shoot some stuff.
That's sick, man. I love orcas. They come to the Monterey Bay too. Have you ever been up here, Monterey Bay Aquarium, or check it out up here?
Monterey Bay Aquarium. Like it's been like a bucket list kind of thing for me. When I was up in California, Oregon, you know, like I was doing a whole other different thing.
Yeah.
One of my good friends, she is actually all the way in the East Coast in Atlanta. So they have like a live whale shark in the aquarium and you can like pay to do like a scuba dive inside the main tank, which is like so sick. But then again, I'm like, dude, I get paid to snorkel with the whale sharks on a daily basis. Like, I have nothing to lose. Like, I'm not complaining, man. It's awesome.
Do you go by Jose or David? Because I thought it was David on Instagram.
Actually, neither. My friends call me Squid here in town. I kind of have a little squid.
Oh, yeah. Hey, hold it up. I'm going to take a screenshot.
Hold on.
There you go. Oh, hang on. Oh, all right. Got it.
Yeah. So, like, even if you are in San Juanico, like Conejo, the East Cape, if you ring, like, maybe, like, a local surfer, like, if you ring the Squid, they'll probably, like, know. I'm not, like, famous or anything.
No.
But the surfer community here is, like, really, really tight.
It's not
like if you were at Trestles and you were, like, oh, like, you know, like, the Andino guys or, like, the Colapintos or whatever.
Yeah, you follow WSL, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I was kind of sad because actually right about this time of year, we do the Los Cabos Open of Surf.
Wow.
Last year, I was doing the social media for the event, so I got a chance to hang out with Rob Machado and Josh Kerr and like all these like awesome surfers. And they're just like having a good time. They're just like they're on vacation. It's not even a competition event.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't last year. And it was pretty sad that this year due to like COVID, they had to like cancel, I guess.
This and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of real quick, just before we change subject,
go ahead.
And I'll keep you because I know your boat's coming in soon, but if I get stung by a stingray, you're saying go walk on the beach, walk it out on the hot sand.
So first soak it in hot water.
Yeah.
The hotter, the better. Like if it's boiling hot, like your skin will probably hurt more than the actual sting. So what the hot water does, it neutralizes the protein that is in the sheath of the sting. So what happens is that the sting goes in and out, but it leaves like a gunky residue of the sheath. It's covered in a little sheath. So that's what sticks in. That's what like oozes into your blood and starts causing the pain to like come up your leg. So if you're in hot water, you neutralize it.
There's your boat.
That's the boat. They drop off the clients. I'll just tell them I'm with a client.
I'll be quick. All right. So I'm soaking in hot water and then I'm walking on the sand.
Yes. Walking on the sand is not very like intuitive, but you'll feel the relief straight
up. That's good to know.
Like, I'm happy to keep this going. Like, it's actually like 120 degrees outside. So I'm in the energy. I am fine. shoot the questions, man. Like,
word up. All right. Let's talk. What are your go-to three boards right now? What are you surfing?
Okay. So I got the 5-4 Hypto Crypto. A little context, we have a WhatsApp group of like 16 surfers and we were sick and tired of like grabbing like used boards and we were like, okay, let's pile up, like everybody will pitch in like $50 a month and then every month that's gonna be enough for somebody to grab like a brand new surfboard.
Cool.
So we've been doing that for almost a year. So almost all of us have now acquired like a brand new out of the box surfboard.
That's a pretty, that's a small size, dude. Are you busting airs on that thing?
No, well, here's the thing. One of the guys from Scorpion Bay was like, dude, I bought this board. It's the new Mayhem shape, is the Uber driver.
Yeah.
I was actually riding a sub driver before and I really liked the pumpy feeling of it. And one of my videos on my Instagram is on the middle. Like, you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
I just came up on this section and I was just like, whoop, here it goes. And it was like a maybe like an inch high air that I landed. And I was just like,
hey,
you know, like you feel it.
That counts.
It was actually my first actual epoxy board.
Yeah.
And they have had like the best results on my surfing. So that's the 5-4 Hypto, the 5-8 Uber driver.
Yep.
And I actually got a hold of another 5-8 that's a driver with like the rounded tail, no V, so it's like a single concave. And so Dino Andino, who is Kolohe's dad, has a house in Scorpion Bay and goes there all the time and drops off 2 or 3 boards for the locals to kind of like use or sell or whatever.
Yeah.
Which are the boards that Kolohe does not really use anymore. They get fresh quivers every single leg of the board.
Yeah.
So I actually just snagged one for like $200. It was such a deal.
Oh, and that's one of Biolas is shaped for a Kolohe?
Dude, it has Kolohe on the board.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's awesome. Dope. All right. Yeah. Last question for you. I'll let you go. And by the way, I emailed you. You got my contact. Shoot me back yours, all right? So I have a friend down there, and you got a friend up here in Santa Cruz. What was the last time you cooked it? What was your kookiest story? Last time you ate shit in front of someone, or you blew a big wave, or you got in someone's way? Anything like that. I love those stories. They always make me feel better about myself.
Dude, I won't even lie. It was just, no, the day before yesterday. So today's a Monday. Sundays we have like, so the group that I told you about is called Surf Bros Baja. So Surf Bros_Baja in case you want to look that up on Instagram. Yeah. So, you know, we're always like ended up together in the lineup. It was Saturday. So it's sunset session. It's summer solstice, the late, longest day of the year. And we were all out there like making it last as long as we could. And it's a beach break. It's not really a long ride. And I took off on this lift. One of my friends, he's like a 40-something-year-old lawyer. He's chunky. He's kind of like slow when it comes to like popping and stuff.
Sure.
So he pops up just like on the shoulder, just like a little bit in front of me.
Okay, he's in front of you.
I'm going down the line. And another of our friends, he's like duck diving. And yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to avoid this guy if I go back. So I try to go further, and this guy was like, I'm not gonna be able to avoid this guy. So we ended up going like this, and my body was right in the middle. So I took a fin to my leg. Damn. And board took a little, you know, like that Uber driver took a little, it's mostly like a crack. I actually put like a little resin on it so I could surf the next day.
Yeah.
But I felt like a kook because right after the tumbling happened, everybody was just like, where's my board? Like, you're tangled up with me. Like, come on, dude. And we were like yelling at each other, but in a good way, like, are you safe? Are you okay?
Yeah.
You? And like, at first I didn't even feel it, but then I took off my wetsuit. I look at my leg and I'm like, oh, there's a thin one.
Oh.
I didn't really feel like a kook. I felt more like I should have let that guy go.
Yeah.
Technically drop in on me, but like,
yeah.
Like, ah. One last time, just the last full moon, I was in La Fortuna. I left this office around this time of day. I grabbed my boards. I drove all the way out there. I dropped off a friend. I made it to the Eastcape around like 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
And then I came up to this beach at La Fortuna, and there's like 20, 30 people partying, like blasting music and beer all over the place. And I'm like, dude, I came here for like some peace and quiet, but I also got stuck in the sand in the middle of the night, and there's like 10 drunk guys pushing my van. Like
shit.
Trying to like unstuck it from the sand, and like I finally got unstuck. They were like, chug a beer.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like the music, so I was like, fuck all of you guys, I'm just gonna paddle out. And I was like surfing at night.
Yeah.
With the full moon. Ooh. Another super drunk guy decided to go after me. So I was like, dude, I don't want to run into you. Why don't we do like a Marco Polo thing? Like I yell Marco and you yell back Polo.
Yeah.
And know exactly where you are.
So he's surfing out there with you? He's surfing out there with you in the dark?
Yes.
Okay.
I cooked it because I dropped in on him on the single wave that he could catch. Because he didn't do the Marco Polo thing. And I was like, dude, I told you about the Marco Polo thing. Like,
yeah.
If you're going on a wave and you don't know where I am, yo, Marco, that's like, I'm going. And
I've surfed with a beer buzz before. It's not my best work.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, give me your business one more time, where you guys are located and what phone number someone could call you.
So this is Baja Adventure Company. We are within Puerta Cortez Resort. That's hard to say. Puerta Cortez Resort here in La Paz. Our Instagram is Baja Adventure CO. That's where you can find what we're up to right now. We are back to business as usual, except the whale shark season starts in October and the sea lion season starts in September. So we still have a couple of months for you guys to take it easy, stay at home, keep those COVID contacts as down as you can. Because when the time comes, we actually want to see those Benjamins rolling in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the best thing is, like, my boss is super easygoing. Like he allows me to go surfing. I'm super grateful to have this job. Check us out. And dude, I appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast.
Absolutely.
I wish it could be longer, dude. Like, I don't even see a problem with these guys. I mean, they are down there. Looks like they had a good day. I just want to thank you, man, for the opportunity.
Likewise. Well, let's stay in touch. And I may not see you this time down, but I want to come see one of those cuddly sea lions, man. In Santa Cruz, they're so well fed from the anchovies at the wharf. They just bark at you, and I would not want to fuck with one.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, thanks for the opportunity once again. And yeah, we'll be in touch.
Squid, mucho gusto. God bless you, brother. All right.
Take care.
Peace.
Cool. What did you think of that interview, Eric?
Oh, I thought it was great. I had a very nice time listening to it. It makes me want to go to the Sea of Cortez.
Indeed. Now, he's a nice guy, and he's kind of a funny guy, and I didn't really get to know him too well yet on Zoom, but I'm going to have him back on because I kind of got a kick out of him. So, anyway, thank you for showing up. And
thanks for having me over. I know we kind of looked at the calendar. It took a minute to get us back together. Thank you for having me in. I always love talking surf. Let's do this again soon.
Do you have anything you want to say to the listeners before we roll?
Just as always, go out there and be kind to one another. And I'm on the block. Hello? And I'm on the block. Wait, New York, I'm in New York. Hiding in my sock. Hiding in my sock. Selling every rock. What? In New York, I'm in New York. Hiding in my sock. Loose is every rock. Running from the cop. Shooting at the ops.